Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of The Tale of Two Counties. Our second episode today is going to focus on resource, which is something I think we promised to chat about from the first episode. So just as a reminder, everyone, I'm Charlie. I'm from Active Dorset, and I've got my colleague.
Hello, I'm Matt Evans from Active Lincolnshire. And if you're listening, if you're one of those people that has emailed or got in touch, thank you. I am absolutely buzzing that anybody is willing to sit and listen to us talk about something we're passionate about. But it sets it up well, doesn't it? But it also adds a little bit of pressure. So hopefully a conversation about resource is what people want to hear.
It did. I think we passed the threshold of maybe 5 listeners, which was our mums and maybe one friend each that listened enough to warrant doing a second episode. Thanks to everyone that said nice things. Hopefully, it sounds like it's been useful to a couple of people at least. So that was enough to get episode 2. Low threshold for the demand.
However, having spent all week with you last week, Charlie, I can't believe you're willing to listen to me talk again. So thanks for the time. We just didn't get chance last week, did we, to record it? So I guess some of what we'll talk about now will reflect back on that.
Yes, some of the conversations we had kind of offline last week, we'll share those with the wider network. They might be useful. There might be some nuggets in there. So as I said, we're going to chat a bit now about some resource, and that might stray into relationships at times, but we're probably not going to cover relationships too much because that could go everywhere. It's quite a big topic. So Matt, can you tell us about the resource that you have at Active Lincolnshire for sort of this piece of work that's health systems connecting to health and wellbeing, and what your setup is up there?
Yeah, I think because of me starting, just over a year ago now, it's probably easier to be talking about the beginning. So let's make an assumption that every Active Partnership has some sort of connection to public health in their local area. We certainly had somebody that worked within our organisation on a seconded role, but that's going back a few years, and that has kind of dropped off. So we're starting afresh. So our current sort of picture is that we are starting to work around connecting for health and wellbeing through Uniting the Movement. We've got our chief exec, Emma, who is doing a lot of that relationship building at an integrated care system, integrated care partnership type level. We've got Lorna, our director of transformation, sort of keen to look at how we are resourcing stuff, how we're working with partners, how we're structured internally, how the bigger picture for Lincolnshire, it's Let's Move Lincolnshire, but that whole thing around Uniting the Movement threads across the whole organisation, and then into that kind of, not silo, because it's linked everywhere else, but the health area is me. And I have a part-time project officer, most of the time, she's currently on maternity leave, who is helping support that strand. So myself, Lorna and Emma, all jumped on the train, the cars, and whizzed down to Dorset last week, didn't we? We came to do our study visit.
Yeah, for 5 days.
For five roughly. Days, yeah. Which I think, if you like it to a conference, it was worth every penny. That, I don't know. The Airbnb.
I think it's more like a French exchange, Matt. If people in their mind could think of a French exchange, that was it, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly feels like a different language down south to
different weather.
I would say up north, but Lincolnshire's not really north, is it? We're in the Midlands, so yeah, it felt different. And I guess because of where we'd started, the relationship that you guys had with Sport England around supporting us to get to where you are, which I know you'll come on to in a little bit, that's probably our kind of like fast track learning, sort of accelerating our learning by sharing with you guys, which I think we've alluded to before. But you came to us in October, was it?
Yeah, October time for a week. And it was so valuable. So I think it's the single best learning experience I've had. And as Active Partnerships, I think we're all talking about how are we learning from each other, how are we sharing, what do we do? And crucially for me, and I think many people possibly listening, it's about the how, getting to the how, the nitty gritty stuff that you just don't have time to talk about. Yeah. And through a visit, it's like intensive time. And I overthink it gives you is the headspace to step away from your inbox and your day-to-day calls and whatever's going on in maybe your family life and things, to be in a place focused on just learning for a week. It's really precious time. We don't get a lot of it, I think, in our careers, and time at Active Partnerships is busy. So having that protected time for 4 or 5 days, even 3 days, to go learn and immerse yourself. It's brilliant. Sorry.
When you came to us, it wasn't just you coming, was it? And I think that's one of the key nuggets here around how we're working with health. It can't be one officer going it probably can be. I'm being a bit unfair saying it can't be. But to get to any kind of level where it's really going to make a difference and things are going to move forward, it can't just be, oh, I'm the project officer for health, so I'm going to go somewhere else and look. This is really around organisation. If we think about yourself, Martin and Chloe, and how you three came and challenged us with some of what we were thinking and hopefully picked a few bits up from us, but certainly were able to leave things for us at our different levels within our organisation, that's got to be one of our top tips, hasn't it?
I think so. I think having the different people from the different who have a slightly different role within your organization is beneficial to go, because if I just go, I absorb all that learning and then it's hard for me to maybe share that back with others and they have a different learning experience than I might. So I think it is really great to have a couple of you go, and like you said, we had Martin, who's our chief exec, come along, myself as deputy chief exec, and then Chloe, who is our project officer, kind of lead project officer for a lot of our health work. And so we all took different things and we met with, you know, our equivalents in your team. So again, you could discuss not just health stuff, you could discuss other things that we're all doing and learn from a broader, on a broader range of stuff beyond just the health work we're doing.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we're kind of setting the scene, we're going to talk about resource today, how you work your internal resource to make sure people have got time and capacity, or picking a priority over another. You know, I'm thinking like the CYP leads are going to link in, because health and CYP, it overlaps certainly at those ages, doesn't it? So it kind of makes sense to put a health lens on it. If we look at something like school games, for example, we could continue doing competitions and event, we can't, because that's not what we've been encouraged to do, but that mindset around that's the place we were, actually put health lens on that, and you start to look, make some of those decisions about how you interact with that group of partners slightly differently, don't you? You know, you move away from traditional competition and you're thinking around health in this example.
I think that's what Uniting the Movement's certainly trying to do for our team, is really distill, okay, what is it we're doing in health and what are we prioritizing when we look at that connecting to health and wellbeing strand, and the priority around health inequalities is really starting to distill where we spend our energy and time and the limited resource that we all have, and we're all a different size in terms of the number of people working on health work.
I think that segues me nicely to, oh, there's some money over there, let's go and get it, okay? Which is a very old school approach, isn't it? And I think we've all been guilty in the past, probably, of seeing funding pots and going, oh, well, we fancy a bit of that. I know in Lincolnshire, prior to me starting, there was an opportunity to get some funding, and it felt like we were working in a health space because we were getting this funding from that. So if we look at the mental health agenda, and we take something like a project we call Think Active, which I'm sure others have done very similar, but there was a very transactional, and I'm using that word because Rebecca O'Connor with Rock Research has looked into this for us and challenged me on it and how we look at our relationships, but we received money to deliver a service, which is very, very different to working in partnership with someone. And I think one of the things Rebecca spoke to us about, didn't she, Chad, probably 4 or 5 months ago, was that kind of what's kind of in partnership and doing it together versus really truly a partnership working on the same thing. And yeah. I think that's unpicking that would probably be my second top tip to anyone who's listening. Kind of don't get drawn into, oh, we need to grow our resource, so we need to bring some money in. And the trade-off is we've got to do X and Y to get that money. Because if it's transactional, you've got a different relationship with that funding person, haven't you?
You have. And I think this is quite current, isn't it? Lots of people talking about transactional relationships towards collaborative relationships. But I'm also a little bit realistic about it, because if you're trying to grow your team and the resource that you have to do some of the work in health, because it's so big, so complex, you can only achieve the amount proportionate to the amount of people you have. So yeah. The impact and the scale of the work is going to be dictated by the number of bodies you've got to do the work. So there is a little bit of, I think you can have both. So there is room for some transactional bit where you will get some money to do a specific bit of work with your CCG or with your public health team. But it's about how you grow that transactional relationship so that it also has a relationship at a systemic level. So a systems conversation and leadership bit. And I think sometimes it isn't always the same person doing that, but both of those relationships, if you follow me. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, Matt, about how do you talked about your role, Lorna's role, and Emma's role as your chief exec, and how you decide who does what, who has what relationships, and yeah. how do you use each other's roles and titles in the right way?
Yeah, well, that's an area that we're really conscious of at the moment. We're trying to think about how it's almost like I'm going to use a golf analogy, but which club do you use for which shot? You know, yeah. we've got a set of tools here to use, and that's why I say it can't be one person. Go on.
Do we have to talk about golf? Because
why? What's wrong with golf, Charlie?
Well, some people are better at golf than others. Let's just say that. My strength at golf isn't putting. I think I'm more of a driving range kind of a person.
What did we do? We played crazy golf, didn't we? And I think Lincolnshire took the honours. But no, I won't mention it. Not on the podcast.
No, someone came first. Out of the two of us, someone came first, someone came last. And we'll let the listeners decide
which ones they think
it was.
Yeah, okay. Well, so I should just leave that hanging. Yeah. Going back, you throw me now completely. I wasn't going to brag about the golf. Thanks for teaming up for that. Knowing which person to put into which relationship came out really evident with some work we've been doing with maternity. And previously, we'd got some money to kind of do some real transactional stuff around putting people on courses. So the physical activity sector is ready to receive people from the maternity world, you know, pre and postnatal women coming in, and flipping it the other way, working with the midwives to get them, you know, advocating physical activity. So it was quite easy. Cash X equals Y. Lorna, in a kind of transformation role, starts talking to that group around, well, what if we looked at this in a different way? What if we looked at that investment around how we look at the whole system? And she set up I think she probably had one or two conversations, but she set up a way of thinking and influenced that bit of the system to actually go, oh, there's another way of doing this. And then introduces me and says, oh, well, Matt's working in this area with social prescribing or, you know, whatever they're used as an in, to then be able to go, right, well, in exchange for an investment, we can look at the entire pathway from the moment a lady thinks, oh, I'd like to get pregnant, right through to a child going into school. What do they call it? Conception to reception.
I've not heard that before.
Yeah,
that's
very
catchy.
It's catchy, but it's a little bit cringy, isn't it? Conception. Yeah. So we've kind of got permission to work in a systems way because we've asked to be able to do that. Yes, we're still going to have some deliverables in there. We're still going to have to make sure we've got mapped of where people can go. But we'd want to do that anyway. You know, we'd want to be able to signpost women to activities pre and postnatally, and we'd want to make sure the people we represent in the physical activity sector are ready to receive. So, yeah, there's a part of that, but there's also that bigger picture of thinking, hang on a minute, what about all those different component parts? What about mapping the entire patient pathway? I know this is going to be the podcast, and I've realised how much gesticulating I'm doing now, so hopefully it's coming through in my voice rather than just waving my arms around and Charlie laughing at me.
That makes total sense. It's sounding and looking excellent. So, interested then what you think about... Do you think your titles, or Lorna's title or Emma's title, either chief exec or director of transformation, helps open doors or engage the right people in the right conversation at different levels?
Yeah, I definitely think, but I mean, this is a personal thing. I'm sure there'll be some theory on it somewhere and probably some contrasting theory around titles don't matter. But when you are talking with the transformation manager at the integrated care board, it's kind of handy, isn't it, that my director of transformation is talking. They've got a word in common in the title. It feels like it's a shared agenda or a shared purpose. Just like the chief exec is talking to the chief exec of, it feels like people, wrongly or rightly, can make an assumption pretty quick and go, this is where this conversation lands. And we need to review mine, and we need to review our project officers and make sure it's in line and fitting, which I think is something you've done quite well down your way, isn't it, really, with your different projects?
And I think we've probably done that through learning and making mistakes. I think I started out as an active aging project manager, and I think pretty quickly within the 1 or 2 years, pretty quickly, she said, but in reality, that's how long it takes. Martin and I both realised that actually that title does limit who might be engaged in having a conversation, or what level they perceive you at, or what even what autonomy you have to make decisions in your organisation. And because active partnerships were quite agile, quite small, if you've got responsibility for an area of work, even if your title is project manager or project officer, actually you can have quite a lot of autonomy and control over decision making. But that might not be perceived if you are somebody working in a CCG who has 500 employees and has project managers. They can be completely different types of roles with different levels of autonomy to make decisions. So I think, yeah, roles aren't and titles aren't the be all and end all making and breaking of people. You can absolutely operate beyond them and have that autonomy, but they do resonate, I think, to external partners is how it's perceived. So I think we've got, within our team, we've got Martin, our chief exec, myself as deputy chief exec, and my role changed 2 years ago, just under. Chloe, who's our sort of lead project officer for our health work. And then we've got a number of project officers. So we've got two project officers that pick up different parts of our health work. We've got what we call a health village coordinator, who's doing a very specific piece of work that's probably a bit transactional. They're quite delivery focused in outpatient centre. And then we've got a part-time health project officer too. So 2.5 project officers. So it's grown, and that's not where we started from. So we started, it was just me for 6 months. And then myself and Chloe, the two of us, and then eventually it became 2.5, and we stuck with 2.5 officers for about 3 years, and then recruited a few officers. So we've now got 5 of us that are working on health project work, with a delivery officer making 6. So we've grown, and some of that growth has come because we've received what we would term maybe transactional money and transactional relationships we have with some parts of our health system. And I'm quite comfortable with that, as long as myself, Martin, maybe a bit of Chloe, can maintain some of the system, more executive level relationships that are influencing systems and working collaboratively, then I'm quite comfortable that actually at some levels of our operation, we have some transactional relationships happening.
Do you think, though, that you're in a position to do that now because you've established yourself as a in partnership, in collaboration, absolutely kind of, you know, joint purposes with public health and you know your health partners, because you've established it, so you can say, well, if you give us some money for that, we can do X, Y, and Z. But the fact that you're able to say if you, rather than can you please, you're not going cap in hand, are you? You're not begging for money.
I think you're probably right. Years ago, I think we were going for cap in hand for bits of money, or maybe we were getting that offer. I think I said in the last episode of the podcast, you know, you've got some underspend, public health have got some underspend in February, and they need to get it out by March. And we were like, oh yeah, okay, we'll have that. We'll do that piece of work. But I think because we started with our active aging project 4 years ago and made a decision that this was collaborative, it wasn't about asking for money. We were interested in what their priorities were, what their pressures were, and how physical activity could play a role. We've then not focused on getting money to do some stuff or have some capacity. We've built the relationship. And then out of those conversations, if an opportunity falls out, like to, for example, one that we've got at the moment is we're delivering some training for the workforce. within Falls and Frailty, and we're delivering training on how physical activity has a role. We've received some funding from our CCG to deliver that training, but we've also had our project officers Emma and Chloe working really closely to influence the latest Falls strategy that's being developed at the CCG, and 11 of the recommendations in the Falls strategy are linked directly to physical activity and prevention of falls.
Yeah. But you've created that opportunity to have that input, haven't you? That's not, you know, if you were going back to day one now and said, oh, falls prevention, yeah, give us 20 grand and we can do some work in that space. I'm making a massive assumption here now based on kind of how I felt at the time, but it could be they go, oh, we're giving you that money. We expect to see clinics and coaching sessions and chair-based exercise and, you know, like a menu of stuff that you put on, not necessarily a conversation around a strategy and making sure there's 11 connections to physical activity.
Absolutely. And I think you could probably go at it both ways. And I know colleagues and other active partnerships that have gone both ways. So we started with, let's go in at systems level, have relationships. Let's use the officer time we have to sit in the meetings and build the relationships, influence the clinical pathways, the rewrite of a strategy, whatever it might be in that area, and then see what opportunities fall out. And then we'll fund some additional resource through whatever opportunities might arise out of those relationships. But I also know of people that have done it the other way around. So done some delivery in an area, and then their ambition is to actually grow that into a whole systems replicator at scale, to a whole system approach.
I certainly think through Rebecca's research, that's given us a chance to reflect on where we are. And for anyone that's not followed it, in fact, it's on our website. I think we've got it up there now so people can download and have a look. But she's spoken to people who are our partners who have been able to give an honest, candid conversation about how they felt or feel about the relationship with our organisation. And I think being able to kind of check that we're not asking you to make us feel better. We're not looking for a pat on the back. We're looking for a real kind of, how does it work? What do you think our role is? I think that's probably had a massive impact. Well, it has. It's had a massive impact on how we start a conversation and how we go about almost saying, you know, I'm not in this room to talk about how much money you can give me. I'm in this room to talk about, and then off we go with the strategic sort of aims.
And from that learning that Rebecca's given you, what is there anything, any really obvious things that people listening that you might say for people listening, what you would do differently? Now you know, and you've heard that perception from those other organisations, you've benefited from that great research Rebecca's done. Are there things you think, if you were starting tomorrow, new input, what would you do differently?
Oh, blooming egg. Need that one on the script.
I like to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, keep on my toes. I think with what I know now, that I was in a good position by being the new guy. So straight away, however I was going to conduct myself in that meeting, it was a fresh start. Now, that's not to say that the previous relationships were bad, far from it. That, you know, people before me had put groundwork in to enable me to have the conversations that were easy. But I think rather than trying to go everywhere and speak to everyone, looking at something like either tackling inequalities or a personalisation agenda, somewhere where there's something with a focus that will open doors to other bits, is probably the best way in.
So just almost a small one like tackling inequalities, just a little one like that.
But I mean, easy. No, I mean that because that's kind of like it's not a clinical pathway as such, is it? It's not saying we're going to go and deliver 20 interventions for cancer prehab. Actually, no, we're talking about a line in that lines up with something that we're going to be doing in our strategy anyway. So it's a fresh approach rather than an intervention approach. And I think that would be advice, because it's not, I'm going back to that word transactional again, but it's not kind of give me money to do this, because there's probably somebody else who's already asked for it, and there's probably somebody else who wants to do that, and we're probably going to be standing on someone's toes who actually might even be better placed to just get on and deliver it. So yeah. You know,
So reflecting that back to you then, you'd be saying, I'll go and have a chat with the relevant person at the CCG or in the public health team who has got a role about inequalities and say, oh, hey, inequalities is in our strategy, it's in supporting the strategy, it's a big priority for us as an active partnership. Can you tell me about what health inequalities means for you, your role, your organisation, and what your priorities be, so we can understand how we might work together?
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you get that bit right, I'm sure that is the little push on the door that says, oh, here you go. Because there's no way, I was talking about it yesterday, but if you think about all the different pieces of the NHS system, how many different people there are that we could try and affect, whether we're working on a cutting waiting lists or an MSK project or whatever it is, it's massive. And we ain't going to do it all on the resource we've got. You know, I think there's 37,000 people working in the system in Lincolnshire. I think that's about right. Well, Matt, Emma and Lorna ain't going to fix that, as well as delivering all the other strands of the United Movement. So where's the energy? I think we mentioned that in the first podcast, didn't we? Right, let's go there. Let's see how we can do it and then learn from it and talk about it and hopefully be able to copy it into other areas. And people aren't watching and I'm gesticulating again. Yeah. Tell us about the Active Ageing Project and how that unlocked doors for you, because that's it live, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's a good example of where there was some funding, where we were fortunate. You know, there was an opportunity to bid for some funding, which straight away brought partners around the table, around a sort of a shared ambition to do something about physical activity across our health system and in our place, specifically focused on the 55 plus age group, which for us, you know, key demographic, aging population in Dorset, and lots of associated health costs because we have an aging population. So shared objectives right there, got people around the table, then we were successful. And from that, we, instead of there was partner investment as part of that project bid, so there was some Sport England investment, there was partner investment from the Active Partnership that got people together, and we developed some shared posts. So instead of it just being funding into a project with a project manager, we had some shared posts that spent time a couple of days a week in the CCG, a couple of days of the week in the public health office, and then in our office at the Active Partnership. And that felt instantly more collaborative. So I think if we ask public health, they're not on the call, they're not on this episode, but we met with them, Matt, when you came down. And it very much feels like it's a shared resource into a piece of work.
Credit where it's due, Charlie. That conversation was really impressive. And the way that she talked about trusting you to represent them and vice versa, but representing them in meetings and conversations, it felt like you were just totally entwined. Is that the right word? I don't know. Just kind of wrapped up in each other's work and direction of travel and really sound understanding of what you were both trying to achieve. In fact, you're both trying to achieve the same thing. It's the same message. And I guess that's what, 5-6 years worth of relationship building probably.
Yeah, and I don't want people to look at that and go, oh, well, that's great for Dorset, that's happened. But it wasn't like that here. It wasn't like that. We had a relationship. We're lucky we had good people. So Rachel and our public health team's been fantastic and was easy to work with and really supportive from day one, which made it easy for me as the person sat in her office. But it was lots of listening, learning. Things weren't working particularly well in the project or what we were trying to achieve. We had successes, we had stuff that didn't happen very well, and they were always really supportive. And I think, it's taken 4 or 5 years to develop that relationship so that our team really comes from a place of listening and understanding what the public health approach is, what their priorities are, and then trusting us that we'll feed it back. So if we hear something's not quite right, or we're not sure, or we think needs public health input, and we're in a meeting where they're not, we'll share that back. And Rachel, you know, our public health team, she talked a little bit about it to you, Matt, but our public health team, like every other public health team across the country, have been wrapped into COVID response. And so for 2 years, they haven't been able to get their head out of COVID response and dealing with that. So they haven't seen how the physical activity world might have changed, how strategy's changing, how the language changing. So she's lent on us to make sure she's still talking about the right things, that what are our priorities for physical activity, how are we working together.
She also said she listened to the podcast, so hello if you listen again.
One more listener.
Yeah, let's just backtrack and just edit, make sure we've made it absolutely squeaky clean for her.
And I promise we didn't pay her to listen.
No, absolutely. The interesting bit about that conversation, there's two bits, and I want you to kind of share it if you don't mind, but the work around the JSNA, but also the role that LiveWell play, and how, again, I think most people have an integrated lifestyle partner that might be a commissioned service, or it might be in public health, but there's that risk, isn't there, of, and we found this through Rebecca's research, but who are they, and are they trying to get that contract, and are we kind of in competition, or are we in collaboration? So give us a bit about that.
Okay, shall I start with JSNA first? I'll start there. So for anyone that doesn't know, Joint Strategic Needs Assessment, it will probably look different everywhere, but for our public health team in Dorset, they switched their approach from purely combining lots of data sets and saying, okay, here's all the data on smoking in Dorset, well, here's all the data on underage drinking, and then making decisions about strategy and priorities just on data, to more of a systems mapping process for their JSNA. Through our work with Active Ageing, about 2 years in, we realised that there were so many different approaches to physical activity, and there wasn't a lot of consistency about what we understood about the barriers to people being active, what the opportunities needed to be, how to create accessible opportunities for people, and the language that we use when we talk about physical activity, what do we mean? There wasn't a consistency about that and what we're doing to address inactivity across the county. Local authorities are doing different things, leisure officers doing different things, VCSE sector, ourselves doing different things. And we wanted to create some consistency or just have a discussion about that. So I reflected that back to our public health director and deputy director, Rachel, and they said that the JSNA would be a great way for us to open up that discussion and to establish a bit of a narrative for Dorset about what we're doing. Bring the two local authorities who are quite new. We've just had local government reorganisation at that time, and our two health and wellbeing boards, and galvanise them all to having some collaborative approach to addressing physical activity. So we start on the JSNA, and it was a system mapping process. So identified the right stakeholders from across the system. We had an online conversation which was open to the public, and anyone could put their thoughts in. Some stakeholder events that were held online, where we asked people about what are the barriers, what are the drivers of inactivity, what causes people to not be active, or what helps people move more, what inhibits people from moving. And the conversation went everywhere, as you can imagine, from schools to design, active travel, cars, you name it. Money, cost, time, all of those things. And from that, we developed our physical activity strategy, which is our approach to addressing physical activity. We distilled the key themes, what the priorities, and that told us what we would need to address in this next period to tackle physical activity. Now, because we had those conversations with our stakeholders, and particularly did the JSNA jointly with our public health team, we now have a really clear understanding of what we both mean when we talk about physical activity and what we want to achieve and how we want to do that and how we want to talk to other partners in the sector, in the system, about physical activity. So it means Rachel, our Deputy Director of Public Health, can go to a meeting and she's knows exactly our approach to physical activity and what we want to achieve. I can go to a meeting, it might be a MSK meeting where public health aren't represented, and talk about physical activity in that space, trusting that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I think that's I've mentioned it before, but that idea that understanding what physical activity is, this isn't about everyone joining a football club or playing golf. This is much, much more than that. It's day-to-day movement. And I think through your JSNA approach, you've got everybody around the table. So resourcing that and resourcing delivering that should be, in theory, easier.
Yeah, he sniggers. And it isn't any easier, is it? No one's got any more money. In fact, we're all getting less money to do more. However, I think what it does do is influence the resource people do have, how they do things. And I think that's true for us as an active partnership. So our resource now is aimed at in a similar way to achieve similar things as our public health team might. And we'd hope that that influences a wider than the wider sector. And we, you know, our physical activity strategy is called Our Dorset Moving More. There is information on our website if people want to read more about how we did it and what we've done. That hopefully just builds that narrative about how we're approaching it. So if people have got resource to develop physical activity opportunities, we all do it in a similar way.
Yeah, which segues beautifully to LiveWell, which meeting Emma from LiveWell and hearing about how they go about it, it was nice. I mean, our guys in Lincolnshire, One New Lincolnshire, do some great pieces of work. Much bigger team than what Emma's got there, but approach slightly different. So
yeah,
I think when we talk about like a public health resource and the fact that there's people there that can do some of the doing, mm-hmm. going back to that transactional conversation with before, we would hate it, wouldn't we, if public health thought, oh, Active Lincolnshire want the money that we're giving to One New Lincolnshire to do that, because that's, we're in totally different spaces. They are there to do and to deliver some key stuff, whereas we want to work in the system, don't we? We want to embed physical activity. We want to support the sector to be better, our physical activity sector to be better at supporting people with insert long-term health condition here. So LiveWell, their model, it was all around behaviour change, wasn't it?
So, yes. So there are integrated lifestyles service. They work through a behaviour change approach. They use Combi. That's their behaviour change theory that underpins their whole service. So capability, opportunity, motivation, behaviour. And that underpins everything they do in the service they offer. Now, they're commissioned by our public health team. It used to be out to a commercial provider and they bought it in-house. About 4 years ago, I think now. And you're right, we at first, I think when you first brought us together, Emma and I, when we first met and I first started, it was kind of like, well, who's Active Dorset? What do? You do sport, don't you? You do physical activity, you deliver stuff. And equally, we didn't know a lot about LiveWell and what they did. So we started right at what do you do? What do you think your role is? What role do you want to play? And how do we work together? And we don't want to be in competition at all. They do the delivery. They talk to clients and support them to make behaviour change, whether that's physical activity or losing weight, drinking less, stopping smoking. And we support them. We work together in numerous different ways, and it's evolved as the years have gone on. Essentially, we're supporting them around the physical activity advice, so helping their service be the best it can possibly be to get the best outcomes for clients that come through that service. And we see that through, and that could be as simple as delivering training for their advisor team who speak to clients about cancer and physical activity. What do they say? What types of things are appropriate to signpost to?
Go on, in terms of reach, you mentioned the outpatients a bit before, which I feel like we could do a podcast just on that. So get hold of James, let's get him on. But the seeing that there as a place, a physical building that has got clinical stuff going on, but also integrated lifestyle conversations from the minute people walk through the door, 150 plus people a week getting through that area. If you've influenced the physical activity conversation that LiveWell have, that's 150 people every week are getting that message. Flip that back to a transactional type stuff. I mean, that would cost a fortune, wouldn't it, to say we'll work with 150 people. So
it would.
Rethinking what resources there and how we join together, I think that's just ace. And certainly if anyone from One New Lincolnshire is listening, I can be really positive about some of the interventions that they're delivering and the kind of scope and reach they've got. So I'm not. It's different, slightly different model, but working with them to think about where things are and what's required across the system as a rethinking that resource. I think that's a really key bit of joining it all together.
It is, and I've always talked about LiveWell, certainly to my team and to our stakeholders. Our LiveWell's role is often that direct delivery of advising clients, making that supporting behaviour change. They also do a bit of engagement across the team, so trying to raise awareness of Live Well and embed it in clinical pathways. But our role as an active partnership and how we've tried to work with Live Well is, if we think of Live Well as the funnel, we are trying to work across our system, be that our health system or just our place, to funnel more, get more people into that funnel. So the people that need support, want to change behaviour, want to improve their lifestyle, live more years in better health, we want to funnel them into Live Well. And then we take the Live Well funnel and we think, well, how do we help Live Well do the best that they can possibly do for all these people coming in? And our bit, hopefully, we can offer them is some resource and skills from our team to help them make sure that physical activity pathway is as good as it can be. And if there's things that they need help with, we're there to help them with that.
Yeah, and we won't go on long about this, I'm conscious of time, but you've plugged in like Together Fund there, haven't you, to be able to go, okay, if we need to develop a provision in an area, these people might be able to apply, and that, so that coming out the bottom of the funnel as it's dripping out, there are Together Fund projects that go, oh, long-term health condition, this group of people we can provide because there's a gap we can see.
Yeah, we've tried to do some of that, and we tried to look at, they capture lots of data from people about the barriers they have to being active, some of the reasons why they find it difficult in terms of moving more, and our team have looked at those barriers to really understand what are the real life stuff that's going on for these people, why do they find it difficult, and what's that telling us, and how do then we need to work differently, like you say, what opportunities do we fund, or how do we reach these people and support them? How do we change the system and the services so they deliver better for these people?
We could, as we proved last week, start talking and rattle on for hours and hours, but we're over the half an hour that we were aiming for. So let's wrap up there. A couple of top tips we want to think about, definitely in a resource context. We said thinking about what resources you've got internally and how you best use the right person at the right time.
Yep.
Thinking about your relationships with external partners and when you're requesting resource, what it looks like in terms of clarity over, is it transactional or is there more that could be done with it? And then that last one, thinking about external resources that are already funded, are already out there, and working with them to help point in a direction, reciprocal, you getting that information back from Live Well that you've shared there, which can help you inform some of the Together Fund stuff, or whether it's sharing your learning with the pathway providers to be able to go, this is how you can really make the most of physical activity and the messaging. I think that was the three summary.
Beautifully summed up.
Oh,
well done. Very good.
I'm going to liken it to on par with the seventh hole when I just got the connection just right. Sorry, back to golf.
Yeah, sorry, I don't remember that. I seem to have buried that memory.
Well, I think we should wrap up there and say thanks for listening again, and probably put out that plea again. If people want us to talk about something, then let us know, get in touch.
Or not talk about something. If you don't want us to talk about golf, that's absolutely fine. Email in and I'll make that happen.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you ever so much for listening, everybody. And thanks, Charlie, for your time. And thank the whole Active Dorset team for their hospitality last week. That is definitely a top tip. Get out there and see it in action.
Yeah, and thanks to Active Lincolnshire for coming down, because it's a long journey on the train, but it was really useful for all of us, our team included. And hopefully we'll do episode 3 if we get above 5 listeners again. We might do episode 3. So if anyone got any requests for topics.
I'm thinking something like around maternity might be a good one. I think there's loads to talk about on that. And outpatients we mentioned, so
let's tee up some guests maybe, so people don't get bored of our voices.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks all.